Today on Being Disciples, dreams and visions. Hearing God can be through a dream, a vision, or however God chooses to get the message across to us. Are we listening? Joining me today is Paul O'Shaughnessy.
Welcome to the Being Disciples podcast with Pastor John. All notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us. This is a weekly podcast published every Monday that is meant to help believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ to mature in their faith. These principles should be useful to anyone who listens, but especially for the believers who are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You're invited on this journey to explore what it means to be a disciple. Let's begin by joining Pastor John with an opening prayer. Pastor John?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for so great a love that you have for us, that you sent your only begotten Son to redeem us and to restore us into a right relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, that for the joy set before you, you were willing to leave the majesty of heaven to come into this world, your creation, to redeem us and to restore us into a loving relationship with the Father. Thank you for laying down your life for us, both in the living of it and in the dying. In life, you showed us how we ought to live in intimacy with the Father, following the leading of Holy Spirit and loving one another. In death, you gave your body for us, bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions. You were beaten, battered, and bloodied, even pierced to the shedding of your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Now we ask you to give us the words to say and to open our ears and hearts to hear what you would say to us. Please bless all who join us today and all who hear this message on a recording. Amen.
Welcome to episode 51, Dreams and Visions. This episode was inspired by a dream I had in the first hour of February 24th, 2023. The dream, I realized afterward, was a parable. As I sat at my desk and wrote out the dream, I believe Holy Spirit gave the meaning of the parable to me. As I meditated upon the dream, the parable, and its meaning, I realized the dream was for me. I also realized it was not for me alone, but it applied to any person. It is the same for every person. Though some may reject it, the truth remains, regardless of one's beliefs. We see examples throughout Scripture of God communicating with mankind through dreams and visions. Why wouldn't it continue today? Do we think ourselves to be too sophisticated for such things? Look at the world around us and see how unsophisticated we really are. We need to hear from God more than anything in this day and age. This dream was experienced on February 24th, 2023 at 12:25 a.m. Upon waking, I realized it was a parable and that it was from God. After pondering it for a few minutes, I went to my desk to write it down before it faded from my memory. The dream was visual, but I can only communicate the dream to you with words. The dream. The bell came crashing down. I tell you a parable of a man and many men who I saw in a dream. There was a man who met a man who wanted to lead the people. He could not do so, and he was deemed a failure, not the real thing. The man then met another man who had a building. On the top, front of the building, was a hook. Upon the hook hung a bell. He continued to hang his own ideas on the hook with the bell until one day the bell came crashing down, destroying the building. The hook on the building was not meant for the man's ideas, but for a bell which could proclaim truth. The man then met another man, whose name was Truth. Truth could support and see happen everything that he spoke. The man also met many other men who acted from positions other than truth: jealousy, envy, strife, deception, and other similar things. All these other men tried to steal truth, or destroy truth, or trap truth. But they all failed, and truth stood strong. The man clung to truth all his days, never letting go. That was the dream. What do I see in it? I believe Holy Spirit gave the meaning of the parable to me. After writing down the dream and the meaning of it, these thoughts came to mind about the dream itself. The people are the sheep of the great shepherd. The man is one of those sheep. The first man he met wanted to be a shepherd of the sheep. He was not called of God or appointed by God to be a shepherd. He failed because all was being done in his own strength. The second man he met was in the role of pastor, a shepherd of the sheep. A steeple with a bell hanging in it is generally on a church building. hung upon the hook was more weight than it could support, causing it and the steeple to come crashing down, destroying the church building. The hook was not used for its true purpose, to hold the bell. The bell did not represent the truth, which was its purpose. The third man he met was named Truth, and he was truth. He could support everything he said. Everything he said came to pass. Then there were all the other men the man met. They all operated from motivations other than truth. They all tried to trap, steal, or destroy truth. They all failed to do away with truth. Truth stood strong. The man clung to truth all his days. The man never let go of truth. The meaning of the parable. The man was a person. Give him any name, even your name. The first man the person met failed to be a leader because the hope to be one was born of one's own desires. The leadership was not grounded in truth, but in deception. In the end, he could not stand. He was found out, exposed, and cast aside. The second man the person met was in the role of pastor, a leader. He had what appeared to be the real deal with the building and the bell. He was given credibility by other men. More importance was given to his tenets, doctrine, and traditions than to the truth that the bell was to represent. He too could not stand under the weight of what he had created. His system was exposed and cast aside. The third man the person met was named Truth. This was the one whom the person had been seeking and hoping to meet one day. Everything Truth said came to pass. He also brought forth comfort, compassion, and promises of hope, love, and peace. The other men named Jealousy, Envy, Strife, Deception, Falsehood, and others attempted to trap, to steal, or to destroy Truth, but they all failed. Truth stood strong, and the person never left his side. The person was protected by and supported by Truth. That was the meaning of the parable. What do I see in it? I believe Holy Spirit gave the meaning of the parable to me. After writing down the dream and the meaning of it, these thoughts came to mind about the explanation. A man or person searching for truth. False leaders, teachers, and preachers are not anchored in truth. Their names are deception and falsehood. Buildings with bells are meant to represent truth. The doctrines, tenets, and traditions of man were hung on the bell's hook. The weight of it all brought the building down. There were many types of buildings. Each had their own styles and beliefs, meant to be covered by truth. They came crashing down. Their names were Jealousy and Pride. Inside the numbers. After writing this all down, I began seeing the numbers. This is something I have found to be interesting over time, and often the message is one of hope and confirmation. No one has to believe in this, but I leave open the possibility, for a variety of reasons, that it is another means of communication from God to me. The dream came immediately after 48 hours of fasting and prayer. 40 plus 8, testing and trials, plus new beginnings. 2 days, 2 times 24. Witness and support, also division and double witness, plus priesthood. The dream came on February 24th, 2023. 2 plus 2 plus 4. Plus 2 plus 0 plus 2 plus 3 equals 15. 15, new direction. 3 times 5, perfection, unity times grace. The dream came at 12:25 a.m. 12, divine government. 25, blessing. 1 plus 2 plus 2 plus 5 equals 10. 10, divine order or law. 2 times 5, witness and support, also division. Double witness times grace. The dream and meaning took 35 minutes to write down. 35, vindication. 7 times 5, spiritual perfection or completeness times grace. 5 is grace and seems to be the theme here. We also have 10, double grace. 15, triple grace. 25, grace squared. 35, completeness and grace. So what does this have to say about the dream, the parable, and the meaning? When I write this out, it goes this way. The dream came after trials or testing of fasting. This often results in a new beginning of sorts through understanding and repentance. The dream tells of the witness and support, or the double witness, of our priesthood in Christ. Priests and pastors, if not called by God for the role, take it upon themselves, which is not good. coming out of religious practices into a new direction of freedom in Christ. There is perfection in Christ, and by grace we are in unity with Him. God's government brings divine order. The witness and support of Christ, by grace, allows us to receive the blessing of walking in God's divine order. Truth is vindicated as Christ stands in spiritual perfection. By grace through faith, we stand as perfected in Christ. Because of Christ, we have atonement for our sins. The grace of God is the only reason we can stand with Christ. We need to stay at Christ's side. We need to learn from Him. We need to never let go of Christ Jesus. In the end, it is all about Christ and our relationship with Him. There are many examples throughout the Bible of God communicating through dreams and visions with servants of God. One of the most popular stories may include the various events in the life of Jacob's son, Joseph. Jacob had his name changed by God to Israel in Genesis 35. Israel brought forth 12 sons whose families would become the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, fulfilling God's promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations in Genesis 17. Joseph was the seventh of the 12 sons of Israel. Joseph was 17 years of age when he had the dreams of the future that awaited him and his brothers. His brothers hated him and could not speak peacefully to him because he was a favorite of their father. After Joseph told his brothers the first dream, they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. After Joseph told his brothers the second dream, they were jealous of him. You can find all this in chapter 37 of the book of Genesis. Things did not go so well for Joseph for a time after telling the dreams to his brothers, but God used other actions and other circumstances that followed to get Joseph to the exact spot where God wanted him in order to fulfill the dreams in his life. Some years later, God used Joseph to interpret dreams, which moved Joseph more precisely to where God wanted him. That's in Genesis 40 and 41. After Joseph interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh, he rose to power in Egypt. He was now in position to save the household of Israel during the seven-year famine. Joseph was 38 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Visions are another way God communicates with his servants. Among the most popular accounts would be the story of Daniel. Daniel was among those who were taken to Babylon as captives during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It is written that Daniel was one of four youths whom God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel was understanding in all visions and dreams. That's in Daniel 1. Daniel interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar for him as God revealed the dream and its meaning to Daniel. Daniel ends up getting promoted, again God positioning a servant where he can mightily use him. Daniel was over the province of Babylon and over all the wise men of Babylon. In chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, we see the beginning of accounts of visions Daniel received. He also received the interpretations for them. There are many accounts throughout the Bible of dreams and visions for many people. There are a variety of ways that God communicates with us. The real question is, are we listening? Let's take a break here, and Garrett will share with us where you can find the notes for this and other studies.
Let's take just a moment to remind you that all notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, it's virtualstudywith.us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. We will now move into conversation with this week's guest.
Hey, Garrett, thank you for those reminders, and we trust that people will go and look at the notes and study out things for themselves. We're just here to kind of initiate things. Paula Shaughnessy on again, third time. Thank you for joining me again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I know that you do a lot with the dreams and dreams interpretation. You're the natural one for the show, I thought.
Yeah, it's an absolute passion of mine.
So I'll just start out with the final statement of my monologue part. I said, there are many accounts throughout the Bible of dreams and visions for many people. There are a variety of ways that God communicates with us. The real question is, are we listening? It's kind of the big thing, isn't it?
It is. It's a great question. I encounter people all the time that don't feel like God talks to them, and I'll ask them if they remember their dreams. And as soon as they start telling me their dreams, they'll realize that God is talking to them. He just happens to be talking to them through dreams.
So I see a number of ways. You know, I've actually heard what I believe is the voice of God, which is not what I'm looking for, because I don't expect him to do it that way. But when he does, I pay attention.
Right.
I've had it happen a couple of times. Otherwise, dreams and not. I've seen teachings that some people think every dream means something and every dream is a message from God. I don't buy it. What do you think of that?
Well, I think the risk in not at least considering that it could be from God is we're risking what God may be showing to us. One thing that I teach in my dream interpretation class is that even if a dream seems scary or demonic, I believe as God's people, we still have a responsibility to seek him about it and at least pray into it, because either way, we want to pray into it. So if it's something scary, we want to pray against whatever the scary thing is, and in hopes that we can thwart whatever, you know, I mean, if it's someone's running us down with a car, or we get hit by a car or whatever, it may not seem like that would be a dream from God, but I think it's a clue or a warning dream. And we just have to not just dismiss that it might not be from God because we don't think it's a way that he would be speaking to us or whatever the case may be. So I guess the point I'm making is I always err on the side that it could be a message from God, and I'm going to spend time with him in the secret place and allow him to reveal to me whether or not it is from him, and then show me how to pray into it.
Yeah, that's good advice. I just take the point of view that I need to use discernment, something we need to learn to do.
That's right.
Like discerning, is this my subconscious? Is it something from God? Is it something, you know, my mind's just trying to clear out something sensual the enemy's just planting in me and trying to stir something up? And even then, you'd say that's a cautionary tale, right?
Yep.
Be careful, guard your eye gate and ear gate and all that stuff. Perfect. It's not that it has to be from God, but there's always something you could learn, I suppose, from most of them.
Well, and we're told to test all things. And,
right.
You know, and I think that applies in every aspect of our life. When we feel like we're getting a message either from a person or through a dream or through a vision, you know, we have a responsibility, I believe, to test it, because that's what the word tells us to do. But I don't ever wake up from a dream and say, well, I don't now, I may have before, but I don't ever wake up from a dream and go, that must be from the devil. My go-to or my default is to always say, okay, that's crazy, but I'm going to go write it down and I'm going to pray and seek you about it to make sure I don't miss a message from heaven.
Yeah, I should start doing that. See, for me, it's always been, I for sure know when it's from God, just based on when I wake up. It's like, I know, it's like everything's crisper, more vivid, more pointed to me. Even if I don't understand the message, I know there's a message in there. Right. There's just something about it that I know. Now, that doesn't mean that other dreams aren't. Those are just the ones that I know for sure are. So I should start paying attention to the ones that I'm not for sure on, right? And pray into them, like you said.
That would be my recommendation.
Okay. So the other thing I mentioned in this episode was visions, that we also from time to time may get visions. And I remember distinctly that happening when I began my ministry up here. And I didn't really fully understand it all until hours later when I saw the things that I saw in the vision. So it was nice that with the first few visions I had, there was like an immediate payoff that told me that was something from God.
Yes.
The most famous one I referred to, in my mind, the most famous ones is Daniel receiving all the visions he did and praying for Nebuchadnezzar and other things there. Is there anyone bigger than that? I think that's probably about the biggest display of visions in a life in the Bible.
I think that one is, I use that one in my teaching because we see that he had the dream and then we see how it was interpreted. And so it's really good to look at that side by side to see what the symbology is in what Nebuchadnezzar saw and then how it was interpreted. Part of the teaching that I do is I take the scriptures and I do teaching on the biblical foundation of how God speaks to people in dreams. So a lot of them are warning dreams. A lot of them are calling dreams, which has been my experience when I'm ministering to people in dreams, is most often God is trying to let people know what their calling is.
Oh, yeah.
And so there are things in the dream that will point to what God has created them to do, basically. And that's why I say we can't just discount it, because sometimes they're really bizarre. And so I asked God one time, why are dreams so bizarre? Why don't you just talk to me plainly? And
good question.
It was a good question. And this is what he said back to me. If I talk to you plainly, you wouldn't pay attention to me. You wouldn't pay attention to the dream. You would ignore it. And it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. So the more bizarre it is, the more I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to know what this means. And I think probably the most beautiful thing about why God speaks to us in dreams and visions is it draws us into the secret place and causes us to seek him for an answer. Well, that's what he wants from us. He wants to spend time with us. And so sometimes I might spend 5 minutes working through a dream, but sometimes it's hours. And it's this discovery and this seeking him. And it's just a beautiful time of intimacy where you're just having this awesome conversation with God about, well, what does this mean then? And what does this mean? And just waiting for the revelation to come. I don't know. I just think it's, for me, the most adventurous way that God speaks to me, because I have kind of a mind that's investigative. And so I love the whole process of working through trying to figure out what God is saying to me in a dream.
And since you're not a cat, the curiosity won't kill you.
That's right.
Now, I heard that somewhere before, and it must have been in one of your seminars or roundtables where you talked about that. That story is unique to you about the why is everything always so crazy and bizarre.
Yes.
But it does get our curiosity, so it does get our attention, doesn't it? That's good.
It does. And I think one of the most heartbreaking things for me that I've seen in ministry over the last 20 years is when I talk to people about dreams, I hear the same comment all the time. I've had the same dream for years, and I've never known what it meant. And sometimes it's a dream that they've had when they were 5 years old, for example. And now they're in their 40s, and they still, this dream, not haunting them in a scary way, but haunting them in like, I don't know what it means. And once we interpret that dream for them, it's so absolutely liberating for them because they've been carrying it for all those years, not knowing what it was, but never being able to shake it. And so I just love that part when you bring forth a revelation and bring forth the interpretation for someone. And again, it's almost always about their calling. And then God will launch them into it. So I love it.
Yeah, I used to have a couple of dreams regularly, and I haven't had them for years and years now. So maybe I finally got past them. But you know, the one about the mean dogs coming at you and how am I going to survive this? And then the other one frequently people have is flying, but then I get soaring so quick and I get out of control and crash land somewhere or whatever.
Yeah.
To me, that one anyway, was just get some self-control, buddy.
That, or it could be what I call a soul dream, meaning God is trying to show us the condition of our soul or something that's tormenting us in our soul. So in that particular case, I would say that you may have watched something or you may have heard something and now you have a fear of it. Well, we know God doesn't want us to have fear. And I believe that God speaks to us that way and shows us what the condition of our soul is or what's happening in our soul that doesn't align with his word. So a fear of dogs chasing you or a fear of crashing, I think it's something happened in your soul where your soul was exposed to something and it's negatively affecting you. And God shows it to us in a dream where we're not necessarily, when we're awake, we can be traumatized by it. But in a dream, he can speak to us, our soul directly, to our spirit directly. And then we can handle it more than if we're awake, if that makes sense. And so then you can wake up from a dream and go, okay, what am I afraid of? Do I have a fear of crashing? Do I have a fear of dogs chasing me? Whatever. And then it gives you an opportunity to get set free from whatever may be tormenting you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, interesting. Well, thankfully, I haven't had it for decades, so I must have been delivered from whatever that was.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about it for a long time till now. Another way, and this I'll preface by saying, I know a lot of people think it's kind of woo-woo out there, and some people just don't buy it at all, is numbers, and that numbers have meanings. And when I see numbers, though, if it's something that catches my eye and I know it's just more than my just realizing it's there,
I usually find out it's a confirmation for something.
Yeah.
And so in this example, you know, I emailed you when I had this particular dream and I shared it in the first half of the thing here. But the thing I never shared with everybody until this broadcast was the numbers that I saw inside of the dream.
Sure.
And it was basically, it happened 48 hours or after 48 hours of fasting and prayer. So like 48, 40 plus 8, testing and trials plus new beginnings.
Yep.
It's also 2 days, 2 times 24, witness and support, division and double witness for the two, and priesthood for the 24. So looking at those, I'll go through all the numbers the way I see them, make a list their meanings, and then I realize it's telling me a story. So after I get done with that, you know, the dream came after trials of testing or testing of fasting. This often results in new beginning of sorts, though through understanding and repentance. So, you know, I can take all the numbers I wrote down, write all this out without the numbers, and I start seeing that it's telling me a story and it's confirmation.
Yeah.
So for me, this whole thing came down to, we just completed the 7th year. So we just had our 7th anniversary of our ministry here, which is 7's completion.
Yeah.
8 is new beginnings.
Yeah.
Well, the coincidences I wrote down when I was just had a weekend of fasting and prayer, a little retreat that I took. And I was asking the Lord about, he showed me what he wanted me to do. And I said, I don't want to do it, but if you want me to do it, I'll do it. I just ask you for a couple of confirmations. And I needed one from my wife specifically because it included her. And I said, I'd like one from somebody else, which I did get.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, while I was still there, I started just jotting things down, coming to mind. And it was like 8 consecutive sentences that were all coincidences, if you believe in such a thing, as the timing of the 7-year and new year beginning. And one of those is, over the past month, I got the exact same look in the eye from somebody, 2 different people, totally unrelated, both of them saying, I just have the sense that God is taking you in a new direction. There's something new he's going to be doing for you. Through this time of fasting, when he showed me the plan of what's going on, there is a change. It's not a big one per se, but it's a big one for me.
Yeah.
So anyone else looking at it, it's really just a change of place and time. But moving things from a public facility into my home is a big thing.
Sure.
I wouldn't say it's traumatic, but it's emotional. You know, okay, I'm opening up my doors to let everyone see from the inside now. You know, they can see the DVDs on my rack. They can see the pictures on the walls. They can see everything.
Yeah.
They can see anything of value I have in the house or lack of, you know, it's like no pride, no ego.
Yeah.
And it's interesting the way God takes us through these things if we're listening. That's a real question. Are we listening?
It's a very key question. It is a very key question. And another way to put that is, are we expecting God to speak to us? And are we expecting God to speak to us in a way that's outside our box? Because we can have a box and God's only going to speak to me this way. Or I'm only going to know it's God if he speaks to me audibly. Or if God wants me to do that, I'm only going to do it if Jesus himself shows up in my room and tells me to do it. And so what that does is it closes us off and prevents us from experiencing him in so many profound ways. And I've been involved with dream interpretation for years, but it really was the key factor for me was in 2019 when God highlighted Acts 2:17 to me. And Acts 2:17 says, in the last days, I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have the scripture in front of me, but in the last days, I'm going to pour out of my spirit on all flesh. And all flesh means saved and unsaved. And they're going to dream dreams, have visions, and prophesy. And one day, I read that scripture, and I felt an overwhelming sense of responsibility that if we don't teach people that God speaks to them this way, a lot of people aren't going to fulfill their calling. A lot of people are going to miss out on what God is saying. And so I just started teaching it more seriously and more intentionally, I guess I would say, in 2019, because he said he's going to do it and he is doing it. And people aren't really open to it because they don't understand the scriptures. So they just dismiss that God would talk to them that way.
I figured I must be in transition from a young man to an old man because I've seen both visions and had dreams. So, you know, the young men will have visions and the old men will dream dreams, right? Or whichever way it goes. So I figure I must be in transition. So that's good. I don't have to call myself an old man yet.
Yeah. Do you mind if we go back to that numbers thing that you were talking about?
Sure. Yeah.
Because I just think this is fascinating. And I just want to help confirm for people that numbers are very important in dreams. So just this week, a few days ago, I had this dream and I don't even have the interpretation of it yet, which is okay. Sometimes you don't get the interpretation right away. And that doesn't mean anything negative. When the interpretation is supposed to come, the interpretation will come. And sometimes we'll just need somebody else. We'll just be telling it to somebody else. And all of a sudden, God wants to use that person to bring forth the interpretation. So the dream opens and I'm standing with two of my brothers and they both have a bow and arrow in their hand. They both point it up into the air. They pull back and they release the arrows at the same time. I follow the arrows and I see them land on, it wasn't a bullseye target. It was like those, I don't even know what you would call them, but they're that those devices that are like a target, but it didn't have a bullseye. Kind of like,
so like just the target block that you shoot into.
Yeah. So both arrows land in the bottom left corner, right next to one another, about 4 inches apart from one another. And I turn to them and I say, wow, you guys are good. And then I say to my older brother, I said, how much weight are you pulling? For those of you that don't know about these bows, you can adjust the amount of weight that you pull. The more weight you pull, the faster the arrow goes. And the reason I was asking him that is because it seemed like the arrows went slow. They weren't like super fast, okay, like it normally would be. It was kind of like slow
motion. So they had some loft on it.
Yeah.
Arced it
and,
in.
Yeah. And he said, I'm pulling 70 pounds. And I'm like, and I said, well, wow, it just seemed like the arrows went kind of slow. And he said, well, I was using my bow earlier today for 70 minutes. So that's probably why that happened. So two brothers, two arrows, 70 and 70. There is a message.
So the key is not to try to make logic out of the 70 minutes, but the number 70 be presented twice is correct, like the attention getter, right?
That is right. Because the number 70, what I like to teach people is if God is trying to give you a message in a dream that you need to do something with, almost always you'll have a scripture to back it up. Mm-hmm. And there is a scripture about where they went into captivity for 70 years. And we see this in the book of Daniel, I believe it is, because he realized it was the end of the 70-year period. And then he started praying and then got brought about.
Yeah, it was when they're in Babylon.
Yeah, yep. So the number 70 is really key in that dream, and that's a huge part of the message. And then the other thing that was really key is those two arrows were, they weren't your typical arrow. They were made out of metal or iron, some heavy material. And they were both like a dark bronze or black color. I wouldn't say totally black, but they were bronze in color, not your typical arrow that you would see today when you're using that type of bow.
Okay.
So
waiting on the interpretation, huh?
I'm waiting on the interpretation. So if you get anything, let me know.
Okay. Another story about numbers, and it wasn't a dream or a vision. It was just, they caught my attention. So I had been working, and this was kind of, guy gave me an on-the-job training with a lot of spiritual warfare and prophetic stuff when I first got released from this religious spirit and freed up to just follow Christ and open my eyes to the spirituality stuff that I wasn't seeing as just a church guy doing the church routine, trying to raise my family. Sure. My focus was all on self and what am I doing, right? So when I was with this group, I quickly became the scribe of sorts because I was always taking notes and noting details of stuff. So we were to go down to where, down by Hastings, where the St. Croix and the Mississippi come together and just release some prayers and some scripture and pray over it for a specific purpose. And to get there, we had to, from the park we were in where we had a meal first, we walked down these tracks a little bit and then crossed over the tracks to get down to the point where the rivers came together. Well, on the way down there, a train came and our group was separated, half on one side of the tracks, half on the other side of the tracks, waiting for the train to go by. So we were divided. We got down there and did what we were supposed to do when we came up and there was another train, but we were all on the same side of the tracks. Now we're united. And so it was like talking about what we did. You know, we had two rivers. They came together as one. We had two groups. Now we have one. And there was other things. But the trains both had four number digits lit up on each side of the train. So that basically the engine number, 4 digits. And I got home and I was just kind of, I'd take the notes that I took and I'd type them up and I'd send them out to everybody, you know, just so everybody could recount what we did and, you know, take it before the Lord and see if there was anything else to it or anything else we had to do. And both times I took those numbers and like took the 4 numbers and added them up and got the total, or took each number. And doing it was just like I did here in this podcast here, was I laid out what all those numbers represented, all the ways I looked at them.
Yep.
And they told a story, and it told one story on the way down there and another story on the way back.
Yeah.
And the two played off each other. So it's just, I wasn't going there looking for it, but when I looked at the train coming, it's like my eyes just locked onto the number.
Yep.
And I figured, well, it's got my attention. I should write it down. Maybe it's nothing, maybe it's something, but I won't remember it when I get home if you know, I don't write it down. Again, it's just going through life and being aware of what's around you and mm-hmm. see what's going on.
Yeah. Because if we're paying attention and if we're listening to the soft, still voice of the Holy Spirit, God is speaking to us through everything around us.
Another example is sometimes it's what he's not telling us. For instance, when I started this podcast, he would show me who to have as a guest. And there's one time where a person I asked didn't want to. Okay, I can't make you do it. I just felt the Lord asked me to use you. So I put in a substitute, asked somebody else. And in my mind, if I go back and listen to it today, it's like the physical quality of the podcast is bad. The volume of the voices are so far off, it's tough to listen to. The conversation is so choppy and disjointed, it's bad. Everything seems so bad that all I heard from that is, don't substitute for who I tell you to ask.
Yeah.
Still don't make them ask, but now if they don't want to do it, I just do it alone or with myself and Garrett and don't worry about getting a guest.
Sure.
It's a lesson learned. So sometimes it's not listening to nothing, you know, it's just like, did I tell you to do that? No. Well, then it's on you.
That's so, exactly right.
So our awareness in this Christian walk is really something to be learned.
Amen. I agree with that. One time I was just sitting, looking out the window, just in my time with the Lord in the morning. And I asked him, Lord, would you show me a new aspect of yourself, a new characteristic, something new? Just show me something new about yourself. And I was looking out the window, it was winter time, and I heard this in my spirit. I'm in the snow.
Hmm.
I'm in the snow. I'm like, of course you're in the snow. That's awesome. But I would never have thought of that before. I mean, if you think about the snowflakes, every one is different.
Right. Yeah. Studying snowflakes is an interesting little deal.
Yeah.
You know, the crystallization of the water. So in this dream that I referred to that I emailed to you, you know, when I had it a few weeks back, the interesting thing in this one was that I realized that the dream was actually a parable. And that was the first time, and it may not be the most complicated parable, like what Jesus taught in scripture. You know, those ones takes a little to figure out. But this one just, I don't know, it just caught me as different. And I guess partially that's what got my attention too, that it was from God, is that there was a twist in it. But he also gave me the explanation of the parable as I wrote it all out. He didn't give it to me in the dream, but as I wrote it all down, I started seeing, aha, and started looking at this. And I realized it was something I had to pay attention to. So it was for me personally. I realized it was a pretty general, generic concept. So it was actually something everybody needed to pay attention to.
Yeah. Yes. That's a good practice to get into with dreams, because I would say probably 80% of the dreams that I have, I get the interpretation as I write them down. Because when you're writing it down, you see it more straightforward than seeing all the details that you actually saw in the dream. For example, if I see a woman in a red dress walking across the street, I'm going to write it down as, I'm going to reduce it to its simplest form. So for example, if in the dream, if I saw all these details around, maybe I saw a building over here and a car passing over here. But when I write it down, woman in red dress walking across the street. So I'm just going to write down this in the simplest form. And there's something about doing that that simplifies it. And then you get you're kind of extracting the meaning out of that particular element when you're just writing it down in its simplest form. But I would say 80% of my dreams, I get the interpretation as I write it.
So it's kind of like keep the focus on the main thing, right?
Yep. Yep. And that's what I did with the dream I shared with you. What I wrote down, my notes, I indicated the key elements were 2 brothers, 2 arrows, and 70 pounds, 70 minutes. They're both measures of things. Pounds is a measure, minutes is a measure.
When I see those numbers, what I'd start doing too is a witness and support, or also a division or a double witness. Yeah. You had two twos, that's kind of like a double witness to something.
Yeah.
Then when I see the 70, and you said that's a matter of the captivity, but you know, 7 times 10, right? And 7 is completion.
Yep.
And 10's the law, right?
Yep.
You know, we're in a time of grace. It's kind of a completion of the law. You know, it says love one another, you fulfill the whole law in love. So it's like, that's the way not the way you have to, but that's the way I start breaking things down when I see it. That story about when I saw the train and the numbers lit up on the engine, you know, that was the main thing. I could have said, well, let's see how many cars are on this train. What time did it come by? You know, all minutia, right? But you start getting cluttered up with every detail, you're going to miss the main thing probably.
Right. And that's what he was highlighting to you, is those numbers. So it was really good that you picked up on that.
Yeah, I can still see it as like just vivid, like it was 3D because it was reality, but it's like it was 3D. Just look at me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Life's weird sometimes. In this Christian life of not knowing. You know, we were in a prayer meeting the other night, and this guy was praying, talking about, you know, I just don't get it, why things happen or aren't happening. So I told him, you know, sometimes we just don't know. Just got to be patient and just keep asking the Lord. And eventually when the timing is right, you know, maybe there's a timing issue where you need to know it, but it's in your radar. For example, during this weekend of fasting, you know, I'd make notes and stuff. And I just made a note about a person, you know, is so-and-so struggling with, and I wrote out what it was, and then a possibility of what it was. And I was wondering why I was writing that down. Was it something that was on my mind? And I thought, no. I just thought it was, as I was taking notes about other things the Lord was showing me, that he had me write that down. Yeah. Well, after that same prayer meeting, I realized it wasn't written down for me to answer the question. It was written down so I would recognize the answer. So when this other person was at the meeting, was praying, prayed exactly what I had written down.
Wow.
And it's like, yeah, that's a confirmation. Now I know that the Lord was bringing this stuff to me, but also I was able to talk to that person. I showed a note saying, your name is here, and this is what I wrote down. The Lord had me write it down. Is this what you're struggling with? Yeah. And the Lord gave me the words to say to help deal with that. Still has to figure some stuff out, but the struggle seemed to have come out of it. The stress appeared relieved, and that it wasn't just going crazy thinking these things. But now I know, okay, I got to seek the Lord, get the right answer, do the right thing, and took all the stress out.
Yeah.
So it's it wasn't a dream or a vision, but it was just another way the Lord seems to communicate, which is kind of what I want people to take out of this episode is, you're strong in the dreams and visions part, especially the dream interpretation. But like I told you in the beginning, it's about, are we listening? Are we aware of what's going on around us? Like, it took a little risk for me to ask the person. You know, you always think, well, what if I'm wrong? Or what if I'm opening a wound? Or, you know, so I actually did it in private, not at that time in the prayer meeting. I talked privately and said, is this the case? Because it may didn't want everybody else to know.
Right.
So we have to use a little bit of wisdom sometimes.
Yeah. Just to add on to what you were just saying about the different ways that God speaks to us and are we listening, I would say close up there to dreams. Another way that God speaks to me so profoundly is when I'm walking from one room into my kitchen.
Really?
And the kitchen is a place where we're fed or a place where food is prepared. And I have so many words written down where I've walked into my kitchen and I get one word. And I always know it's the Lord. And even though I don't know what it means at the moment, I go write it down in my journal. And then I seek the Lord about it, or I'll just do some research on it. Because sometimes it's another country. It could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll be working on something, and then I'll just hear this random thing that seems like it's not at all related to what I'm working on. But once I do the research, I discover that it had everything to do with what I was working on.
Yeah, it's important journaling. I used to hate taking notes on stuff because I'd never go back and look at them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a couple things, you know, when you write something out, it locks it into your memory and your soul as another way. So like reading, it's one way, saying it's another way, writing it's another way. And I mean, actually writing it out. So like whenever I'm preparing my stuff, rather than just copying and pasting a verse of scripture, I'll actually type it out It forces me to read through it as I'm using it, make sure it's the right context, make sure it applies to what I'm teaching, make sure it's, you know, it just gets it into my soul more, this particular verse. And so not being one to memorize scripture, doing what I do, I can tell you what the principles of the Word of God are. Now, I might have to do a little bit to find the verse to support it, but I know it's there. We're all a little bit different in that respect, but I started journaling because I was taking notes on specific things that were going on. I expanded that into when I would have certain thoughts that I thought were important, or I'd write out a scripture that the Lord led me to, and then I'd write out my thoughts. Then it became, as I finished writing out my thoughts, another verse came to mind. Before I knew it, I'd have 4 pages written out, and there's a sermon or a study, or now it's a podcast episode.
Yeah.
I spent this little weekend retreat fasting and praying and worshiping and, you know, just relaxing. In one of the days, I actually ended up doing that and had 12 episodes written out, a 4-part series on the kingdom and an 8-part series that I need to expand on and write out from the bullet points that I wrote down of a love story. I'm calling it God's love story, starting with the Garden of Eden and even before, all the way into Revelation. And so there's going to be 8 episodes. Maybe you want to be a part of that one, but it's just God's love story and, you know, why he's in love with us, why Jesus loves his bride. And I think it'll be fun. It'll be good. But so another way that I find interesting is I'm in a Ecclesia group online and we meet every week. And there's one lady on there that just seems like she's a doodler. But by the end of every meeting, she has a picture to hold up and show us. And she says, this is what's going on. And here's that and that. And it has to do with what we discussed all night. And she's just kind of doodling as we're talking. And by the time it's done, it's like a complete self-contained picture. And whatever was discussed is in that picture somehow. And it's always accurate. Her drawing is decent. It's good. But the way it's laid out and the meaning, it's like the Holy Spirit is using her to just kind of summarize things for us. And I've actually printed some of them out to keep them where I can see them because they're that good. They got a certain meaning to them. So a lot of gifts can do what we're talking about with communicating dreams, visions, numbers. You know, you hear a word and if you didn't write it down, it'd probably flee away from the mind and you'd never have it again unless he brought it up again.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about it, God is creative. And so he will use so many methods to speak to us. And I do have a friend who does creative painting and it's revelatory painting. And so she'll hold these classes and they'll pick a topic and invite the Holy Spirit to come. And then they will paint the topic or maybe it's a word. And one particular time that I can remember is they were painting what healing looks like. And this painting that came out of it spoke right to this one person. And she said, that's exactly how I view what my healing will look like.
Wow.
Well, she got completely healed.
Wow. Yeah. Holy Spirit's in that, right?
Yeah. And God used a painting class. So, and nice. We've seen a lot of prophetic painting over the years in different prophetic mediums and things like that. And this is a little bit different because it's someone saying, okay, here's the topic. We're going to paint this topic, whatever the Lord shows you.
Yeah. It reminds me, again, with that Minneapolis group that I was in and in the prophetic stuff, we were just praying for one another. And at one point, this guy turns to me and looks and he says, I don't get it. Do what you want with it. But I'm just hearing that art, prophetic art will be a part of guiding the way in Anoka, the city I live in. I said, well, I don't know who the artist is because I haven't done anything since like 4th grade. So I know it's not me. Well, you never want to say that stuff because you don't know that it's not you.
That's exactly right.
We started doing some prophetic work up here and I don't have a lot of visions, but the ones I have, I remember. And so I painted what I saw in this vision, you know, like a snapshot of it. And I showed it to people and it's, you know, a number of people, like probably 80% of the people I showed it to, like, wow, I see what you painted in there. And, you know, it was like speaking to them that there was a spiritual event taking place. Yep. And so we had this episode of 10 items. And so I just decided the second one I drew, I painted another one, you know, and this is what we talked about that we had take place at this event. And another one. And after like the 4th one, I realized the Holy Spirit brought to my mind and I could, as if you sit there next to me talking, I heard the word again and I looked at it and said, oh yeah. Okay.
There you have it.
So I did it for all 10. And one of these was one of the guys with us said, oh, I just saw a vision of this or that. And he told us what it was. So I went home and 2 days later was painting it.
what he said. And when I showed it to him, he says, that's exactly how I saw it. And I thought he was putting me on, but he said, no, that's exactly how I saw it. Wow. Okay. What I thought he was saying was that this prophetic art would kind of direct the path, like we'd have the art and that would direct us. But what it was a confirmation of what we had done.
Yeah.
So like that first one, people confirming that they saw something spiritually happening. And then this one, this guy is saying, that's exactly what I saw. And a couple of them were photos where I saw something not natural in the photo and, you know, did it in the painting. And so it was quite a variety of stuff. But yeah, so, God is creative, and he put that in our being as well to be creative.
Yes. Even songs. God has used songs so many times in my life. And one of the most profound ones was I had been praying for someone, and I saw her heart with a hole in it, a sizable hole. And I couldn't get the revelation. And I said, well, I see your heart. There's a hole in it. And I don't know what it means. And I'm not getting the revelation. So, you know, I encourage you to pray about it on your own. And so that was on a Friday. I come home, and over the weekend, I started getting this song running through my head, a secular song. And I don't listen to secular music now that I'm serving the Lord, but the song was "Shot Through the Heart and You're to Blame. You Give Love a Bad Name."
Oh.
And I think, oh, I'm just making that up. I'm absolutely making that up. That is not what that's not what that meant. Because I was getting a word of knowledge basically for her, but I was seeing it in the spirit. So I just dismiss it as that song popped into my head because of what I saw when I was praying for her. Well, Monday morning, I get into my car to go to work, and I start my car, and my radio blasted so loud, "Shot Through the Heart and You're to Blame." And I don't listen to secular music. And I screamed because I could not believe that was coming out of my radio. And I said, "Lord, forgive me. That was you." And so I go back to where I was working, and I called this person into my office, and I said, "The Lord showed me what that meant, why I was seeing a hole in your heart." And so I said to her, "You think that your current situation is like she's going through a divorce. He has shot you in the heart, and he's given love a bad name." And she flipped out and yelled at the top of her lungs, "That is what he did." And I was like, wow. I mean, her reaction was just absolutely, like, she was just angry. I'm like, okay, bring it down. Calm down. Let's just pray into this, because who is love? And I was able to minister to her, because she's saying that this person is given love a bad name. And so I was able to minister to her and say, who is love? And of course she said, Jesus. And I said, no one can give Jesus a bad name. And so you just need to bring this into the right perspective in how God wants you to process through what you're believing about your situation. But we never know. When I heard that song, I was singing it in my head. I'm like, that's not God, but it was God.
And yeah, the reactions people have sometimes tell you that you're right on the money, right?
Or your radio station starts playing it for you at a very high volume.
Right. So I guess the theme of this is, are we paying attention? Because it's not always a dream. It's not always a vision. It's not always something we see. It's not always something we hear.
Right.
There's so many variety of ways of things to go. It's amazing. That's about it for our time. Any last words? And then I'd ask you if you'd be willing to pray for people to be more aware of what's going on and open their hearts to God in that way.
Yeah. The last thing I would say is expect God to speak to you in a variety of ways, because that he created us for himself. He wants to be in fellowship with us. And so I would just encourage people to expect God to look for ways to be in fellowship with us, no matter what looks like.
So. And I suppose don't limit yourself to one, you know, this is what I want to hear, because it's the way God wants to do it, not necessarily the way we see it. So that's beyond our understanding sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, would you be so kind as to pray for the folks?
I will. Yes, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for everyone listening to this podcast. And I thank you, God, that you are drawing them even to listen to this podcast by your spirit. And you're always drawing us by your spirit, because you're always wanting to talk to us. And so in the name of Jesus, I just impart to every listener the ability to dream dreams, the ability to have visions. And also I impart the ability to seek God for the interpretation, because the interpretation comes by the Spirit of God. And so I just ask God that you would increase dreams and visions for those that are already having them. And for those that feel like you don't talk to them, I'm asking God that you would begin to give them dreams, and that they would begin to seek you and seek out other people that are also having dreams and visions, so they can learn this method of communication that you want to have with your people. In Jesus' name, thank you for this time together. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Before we go, maybe your website where people can see what you have going on, and if you have anything upcoming you want to announce.
Yep. So I have several events coming up. One of the things that I love to do is called a prophetic roundtable meeting. And that's where people just get together and talk to one another about what God is showing us. And then it's very encouraging for people, no matter where they are in their faith walk, whether they believe they know how to prophesy, whether they're having dreams, it doesn't really matter. Everyone is encouraged in those types of meetings. And then I am doing a dream interpretation class in Anoka on April 19th and 26th. It's a Wednesday evening from 6 to 9. So on the first Wednesday, I'll be talking about the biblical foundation. On the second Wednesday, we get more into the symbology of dreams, and then we interpret people's dreams for that. And my website, I have other things, but I won't take up the time on here. They can just go to my website on my events page. And the website is paulashaughnessy.com. And Shaughnessy is S-H-A-U-G-H-N-E-S-S-Y.
Sounds good. Well, I'll see you at the prophetic roundtable. I'm going to that for sure. Other than that, I just thank you again for joining me here. It's always a pleasure, and I hope to have you on again.
Amen. Thanks for having me, John.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Okay. Bye. Next time, we'll continue with the topic of dreams with a list of my moral of the story dreams. One way of hearing God is through a dream. This, for me, was a unique series of dreams, short and sweet, to the point. So join us next time on Being Disciples.
Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Being Disciples. The show is hosted on Podbean. You can find it at beingdisciples.podbean.com. Again, it's beingdisciples.podbean.com. There you can find all episodes of this podcast. There's also a patron button you can use to support this broadcast if you feel so moved, and we thank you. You can also find us on your favorite podcast platform. The notes and links for this show can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us, virtual study with us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. From the site, you can contact us if you would like to join a study group. If you have questions or comments for Pastor John, you can contact him by email at john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us. That's john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us, or through the contact form on the main page of the website. Please subscribe to this podcast and join us again next week as we learn more about being disciples.